are gonna blind me, but I won't feel blue like I always do, 'cause somewhere in the crowd there's
Hello and welcome back to Over the Trent. In Nottingham, both teams seemingly can't have wins on either side of the river. I'm joined by Kieran. How are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you doing, mate?
I'm doing really good. Forest are doing quite well. 10 points out of 4 games. But let's talk about Notts County, who have slipped down to 10th in the Conference Premier. Well, it was all going well until a certain someone went to Meadow Lane. Kieran, what were you doing last Saturday?
So last Saturday, as a part of your Away Days podcast, that's going to be coming out soon, so keep an eye out for that. Me and Mr. Alex Duke went to Meadow Lane with exclusive press passes and watched the game between Notts County and Woking. Safe to say, from a neutral perspective, was a very entertaining game. From a county perspective, it was depressing. That's probably the best way that you could probably put it. They saw their team go 1-0 up. All was going well. I mean, Woking had a few good spells in the game to start off with. And then after the 70th minute, there was about 20 minutes of pure Woking dominance. Didn't think I'd be saying that.
Dominance.
Where Effiong, Diarra, Campbell, and Campbell all scored, Campbell getting a brace. Rodriguez scoring the only goal for County. It was a good experience. Meadow Lane, great stadium, great fans. I think I just went on a bit of a poor day, to be honest.
It
was still a very enjoyable experience there.
Yes, let's run through Notts County's form. They've lost 3 in a row, losing just last night to Halifax, I believe. Could you see what was going wrong? Can you see where the problems lie for County? Because they've just lost 3 on the bounce, which is really strange to them, considering their great run of form up to the game before you went. And I'm starting to see, you know, Forest doing well as soon as you haven't seen them. And now you started seeing them. What do you think is going wrong? Because they've just conceded 7 goals in their past 2 games. What did you notice as a tactician, what was going wrong with County?
I mean, it was such a weird game because me and Alex kept saying throughout that Woking game how it could go either way. And it felt like that for the large majority of the game. Both teams were having good spells in possession, making chances. Perhaps County should have actually lost by another. There should have been an extra goal, actually. Ball did cross the line from what I saw that it gave him, because obviously the lino never saw it. But it should have technically been 5-1, but I'm not too sure, honestly. It's a weird situation. You have a team that on paper is probably the strongest in the league, to be honest. And they just seem to lose their... They seem, from what I saw at the Woking game especially, they lost their heads as soon as they conceded once. It just all went out the window, the game plan. And after that, Woking just really dominated. Obviously, the Halifax Town game as well that happened last night, they lost to a team with 10 men, 3-2, which doesn't really look good at all.
No, it really doesn't. And looking at their fixtures, they've got Yeovil, Stockport, Bromley, Grimsby and Solihull Moors. Teams, you know, that are quite good at the moment. I mean, Yeovil are below them, but Stockport on the rise, Grimsby Town, top of the league. It's a tough period for Notts County. But let's try and look a bit more positive. How was your experience at Meadow Lane? Obviously, press access, not quite the usual fan experience, but, you know, you had a great vantage point. So just talk through, like, what you were doing there for URM.
So we got put up into the press kind of part of the stand, and it was such a good view. We were like dead in the centre of the pitch, right at the back of the stand, as high as you could possibly get in the stadium, pretty much, and had a great view either way. The managers were just below us. And yeah, it was a really, really good like seat to watch from. And the press access was really, really cool as well. Pretty much had unlimited access to anywhere in the stadium that any fan could get to. So we could go around pretty much any, we just showed the press passes and we could go into any of the stands pretty much. We got out onto the pitch at the end of the game.
What did you say?
Went down.
You start playing. Is that why they conceded?
No. If I was playing, they would have lost by more. They would have lost by more. But yeah, we got down onto the pitch and we were standing right near the managers. Unfortunately, BBC were there, so we couldn't get an interview with them because the BBC took their time. But we got a good little like summary clip from Alex because I was losing my voice throughout the day. We got a good summary of the match on the pitch, which was really cool. And we had the players like coming out by us doing their cool downs as we were doing that as well, which was quite a cool experience as well. So yeah, it was overall a very good day, and I would really recommend anyone that perhaps hasn't seen a non-league game to go watch it, because it's a different type of entertainment to Premier League football because it's so unpredictable.
So obviously there's quite a lot of Premier League fans in the University of Nottingham. Non-league obviously seems quite far away to, you know, United fans, Liverpool fans, City fans. What would you recommend? What was the atmosphere like? What was the standard of play like? Would you recommend it to those students who only favour the top six? So
there was 5,000 fans in the stadium, just over that. It felt like a lot more. They were loud, and we were quite far away from the home fans, like the main section of the home fans as well. And I mean, the Woking fans, there was 262 of them, I think it was, or something like that. They were on the other side of the pitch, and the Woking fans were amazing, honestly. They nearly outsung the County fans, bearing in mind that County had a good like 4,800 more in that stadium, which is mental. But really, yeah, it's a really fun experience, and like the atmosphere is still what you would expect from a home football game, to be honest. Like, even with a lot less fans in what is considered like what should be a championship level stadium, to be honest, they fill that stadium with the noise, and it's amazing when they get going.
Well, as it is international break coming up, I know they're down at North County, down at Yeovil Town. If you can get to a non-league game wherever you are, it really does help, because there's not a lot of money in non-league football at the moment. So if you can just spend like 10, 20 quid down at a ground, it will make the difference. Someone who's not going into the non-league, Nottingham Forest. Since we've been gone, Houghton's gone, Cooper's come in, and it's all been super trooper Cooper. It's been fantastic for Forest fans. I mean, they've played quite a few away games at Barnsley and Birmingham, travelled in great numbers. But things are turning around for Forest at the moment, which is great to hear. Obviously, there's no correlation in the fact Kieran has been at none of those four fixtures and they haven't lost one yet. I was at the Huddersfield 2-0 win under Reedy, and that was a fantastic atmosphere. There was a real sense within the Forest fans that this is, you know, Houghton's gone, we need to move on, we need to be positive, we need to back our players. And we've gone for a five at the back system, and I'd like to hear Kieran's thoughts on this. Five at the back, you'd think would be more defensive, but somehow it's allowed players like Lolly and Johnson to be even more creative. I think Cooper's come in. Obviously, Reedy got the 2-0 win over Huddersfield. That was a great atmosphere. Rode our luck at times. There was certainly points when I thought we could bottle this, but, you know, got off to a winning start and momentum started to build. Then Millwall 1-1. That was a bit of a worrying game, if I'm honest. It felt like Houghton hadn't really gone. Cooper obviously tried his best, but 1-0 was not a bad result against a team the Forest haven't really done well in the past few years against. But then we move on to Barnsley. Oh, what a night in Barnsley. Now, Kieran, you probably won't know this, but Forest have an awful record at Oakwell. Just woeful, 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 woeful. And to get, you know, 3-1 coming back, perfect game for Forest attacking-wise. And then you go to St. Andrews and get another 3 points and three goals. It's incredible, isn't it? You've seen the goals, Kieran. What do you think is the difference between Houghton, let's face it, quite a miserable, sullen team, to Cooper's energetic, positive football team?
Never thought we would put energetic and positive in the same sentence as Steve Cooper. he's breathed new life into this Forest team. And I think that you were talking about changing to a five at the back. Perhaps it depends how you play it a lot of the time. It can be more defensive if your wingbacks / fullbacks are like defensive minded. However, Spence and Lowe have been given license to get forward, and that allows... I remember being at plenty of Forest games before Cooper came in, and one of the main things I kept saying, and I repeated game on game, was why aren't the fullbacks getting forward?
Yes.
They need to either overlap or underlap to support the wingers, because the amount of times under Houghton that the wingers were exposed isolated, they were just on their own trying to take on an entire team by themselves pretty much. With wingbacks, you don't really get that situation, because you have the, obviously you're kind of playing with two attacking midfielders, but they're kind of like wide attacking midfielders at the same time, with Zinchenko and I think Johnson played against Birmingham, but that's where the support comes in for those two. You've got those two wingbacks overlapping, and I mean, it's working wonders. I mean, Spence got a goal, didn't he, against Birmingham?
Wonderful. And so good to see Jed Spence, someone from Middlesbrough who's not had the greatest career at Middlesbrough, but to see him come into Nottingham Forest and just be so energetic and so exciting, it's just great to see. We'll move forward into what Forest have got coming up. Blackpool, Bristol City, Fulham, QPR and Sheffield United. Blackpool doing quite well. Forest don't have a great history against Blackpool. I remember, what was that year, 2010? So must have been about eight, them beating Forest at the City Ground in the playoffs semi-final. That definitely hasn't scarred me. Then down to Bristol City, who are really struggling at the moment. Then Fulham haven't, you know, it's not quite the Fulham side I think we were all expecting. What I'm sort of aiming at here is that Forest could get on a run here. Now, we need to pause, not get too excited. This happened exactly the same time last year, or the equivalent time, when Houghton came in. And I remember saying to James Aldred, right, Forest, we're only 7 points off the playoffs. It's not that impossible. The dream's going to happen. And I know Forest are only 8 points off the playoffs, being in the playoffs at the moment. It's still very possible. But with the run of games, you could easily say Forest should get 7 points out of those next three games.
I would agree with that. I think that's fair. I think the Fulham game is probably the hardest game out of them. I know they're not particularly the Fulham that we're used to, the team that was pushing to get into the Premier League pretty much every season, but they are still a very solid Championship side. I mean, I would say that you should probably pick up points against Blackpool, going off of form at the moment. Bristol City, perhaps a draw there. I think a draw would probably be a fair result going off of the two teams going into this. Sheffield's the team that I think everyone's quite surprised at this year, just because they had that really, really good season in the Premier League, obviously, under Wilder, but it's not really going to plan this season, is it? They're 14th.
It's a hard one, isn't it?
It's so weird thinking that was literally like a couple of seasons ago. They were pushing for the European positions this time in the season.
Yeah.
And now they're 14th in the Championship.
Yeah, it's the wonder of football. And we've just talked about Forest happy to play against Blackpool. Blackpool, who were down in League Two a few years ago, really struggling. And I know Fulham are fifth, QPR are sixth, and Bristol City are ninth. But just with our current momentum, I do feel quite positive. And I know that that's quite rare, and that usually is a sign of bad things. If we can get some points against Fulham and QPR, even if it's just one pointer against Fulham and QPR, especially being in the playoffs, that's a real move forward into looking positive into next season, or even this season making a run, you know, what Dean Smith at Aston Villa. It's looking so much more positive at the City Ground. Slight off topic, Nottinghamshire lad. Well, is he Nottinghamshire lad? Matty Cash, obviously going to Poland, could be called up for Poland. Congratulations to him. A bit of a bizarre story, Kieran. Yeah. Any Brighton and Hove Albion players from gone through your academy who might play for a different country by any chance? Or is that just a Nottingham thing? Because we've got Ben Brereton, Diaz and Matty Cash. And I was just wondering whether it is just a Nottinghamshire thing where you have the most English-sounding names, Matty Cash and Ben Brereton, who then go on to play for Chile and Poland. It's bizarre, isn't it?
It is a strange situation, but honestly, I can't think of anyone. Most of our academy players are obviously come through our English. I mean, Rob Sanchez came through our academy. He was born in England. Pretty sure his mother was English as well. His father was Spanish. He's now in the Spain squad, obviously.
Hmm.
That's probably the closest we have to it. But then, I mean, if you had a choice between Southgate or playing in the Spain squad, and Southgate picks off of loyalties at the moment. It's not so much off of form. I think I would have made the same decision as Sanchez there. And plus, he grew up in Spain for his younger childhood years. So it's not like that's just come out of nowhere. So he does have a connection to the people there. But yeah, they're very odd situations, especially with the Matty Cash one. The thing is, if he got a move to a big club, I reckon he had a chance to get into the squad at one point. I've said this with plenty of the fullbacks that we have in this country. They've come through at such an unlucky time because our fullback positions are literally sorted for the next like 10 years. It's just so unfortunate for these really talented players.
Yeah, and to bring it back to the 90s, whilst I'm wearing a horrible 90s football shirt, it's incredible how we can go through absolute droughts and players like Keith Curl can play left back for England, and somehow players like Matty Cash, who are really high quality, and his goal for Aston Villa, who was it against? At Villa Park, his first goal for Villa. It was so reminiscent of Forrest, his goal for Forrest at West Brom, just the way he came in, diving in, just shot from the edge of the box, it just goes top bins. It was so reminiscent of that, and it really made me miss him. But let's also talk about the Forrest women's team. Fantastic start to the year until we sent the URN reporters there. Now, if you want to hear Pavan's review of the game, it will be available on Thursday at 6 or 7 on April's Female Sports Hour. Forest women played Derby County, lost 2-0. Dubious penalty and absolute wonder goal for Derby, from what I've been told. The game was unfortunately not available to be streamed, but it's so good to see more than 4,000 Forest fans come out and support their women's team in the equivalent of League One female football. That's incredible. That's really good even for Women's Super League standard. So for a game like Forest and Derby, you know, not the greatest game on paper in the Women's League, to get such good support says a lot about how desperate Forest are and Nottingham Forest fans in general are for any sort of success. And I'm so happy that my club does have that support for the women's team, and hopefully we'll be going down to the City Ground seeing both men and women succeed.
This is University Radio Nottingham.
Thank you very much for listening. Since this was recorded, Notts County got a win on the weekend at Yeovil, so things are looking on the up for Notts County. Forest still haven't played, and Cooper is still our super trooper. Thank you for listening, and keep it URM.